Boy, I've been feeling guilty all week long. Levi's been ragging me about how long I preach Wednesday night. So Chase has just started. He's our son-in-law, just started doing the sound, and he was flagging Levi down here going, what do I do when the CD runs out? So chances are you preach longer than the CD. You preach too long. Amen. So Lord willing, it won't be that long this morning, but I hope we'll be important. Sometimes you can say a whole lot in a short time, and I hope that'll be the case this morning. Ephesians chapter number 2, I can quote most of this chapter simply because it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Ephesians chapter number 2 talks about my favorite subject in all the world, and that's the subject of being born again, or being saved, as we call it. I remember growing up in church. I grew up in church from the time I was 4 years old, and I didn't come from the best of family situation. I came from a broken home. I didn't come to church in a Cadillac. I came in a bus. Somebody help me right there. I rode a bus to church, and somehow in my mind as a four-year-old boy all up through my life, I had the idea that somehow saved people and church people, if you will, were somewhat better than me. Not that they did anything to make me feel that way, but something inside me made me feel like I just wasn't good enough for that church crowd. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get around that bunch of religious people and they looking down their nose, judging you for the clothes you got on and the way you wear your hair and how you talk and what you drive. Y'all listening to me this morning? And I had the idea that there was no way I could ever be good enough for church. And be honest with you, over the years I found out in many churches, in many cases, that's the truth. I ain't high class enough for some of that crowd. Amen. I don't hold my coffee cup the right way for some of that crowd. I worry about somebody holds a coffee cup like that. Amen. Somebody handed me a coffee cup somewhere where I was at the other day, and you couldn't even get your finger in the hole. I thought, what are you supposed to do with that, man? Anyway, I found out I really ain't good enough for some of that crowd in their eyes. But what I found out in Ephesians chapter number 2 as a 19-year-old boy, although I wasn't good enough for some of the church crowd, even though I wasn't good enough for some of the religious crowd, I was good enough for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was good enough. Hey, y'all listen to me. I wasn't good enough for a church on earth, but I was good enough for one in heaven. Amen. Salvation does not mean better. Just because somebody's saved doesn't mean they're better. This morning, Brother Terry Fennell and I have been friends most of our lives, and I'm probably wearing $300 worth of clothes, my suit, and somebody had given me. I've got on an expensive tie and suit, and I got a brand new shirt. I got up this morning, I don't know what idiot made this shirt. I got some new shirts that somebody sent me in the mail, and I got up this morning and started to stick my pen in my pocket, and I about stabbed a hole in my heart. Who in God's name make a shirt out of pocket on it? I wasn't paying no attention. I was just poking, you know. Wasn't no pocket. But I got on probably several hundred dollars worth of clothes. Brother Terry's sitting there, got on a pair of Liberty overalls. $25 at Barnes Hardware in Carrollton. Does this make me better than him? Of course not. I'll get to the scripture in a minute. Somebody put on a blog one time here in Villarica, said you can't go to Happy Valley if you're wearing blue jeans. Stand up, Terry. I'm talking about second row. Tennis shoes. We didn't plan this. You can sit down. I want you to know in your heart and in your mind that because of what we're wearing doesn't make us better than you. Just because we profess the name of Christ. You know the only difference in me and a man on death row this morning? Grace. I've been forgiven. It doesn't make me better. Makes me better on the inside. Amen. But it doesn't make me better than you. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2. Saved is not better. That's a term that people look at, I'm afraid, sometimes in the world, and they look at that and think, boy, I'd never be good enough for that church crowd. You don't have to be. Amen. You don't have to be. You're already good enough for Jesus. And He already gave His life for you. Amen. Before you was ever born, He went to Calvary and suffered and bled and died. Hey, that you might know Him. Well, why is that so important? Without Him. Without Him, your only hope in life is suffering. Your only hope in future is a place called hell. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at the scripture together. It's hard for me to read this chapter without getting excited. I may want to take a break and run up and down the aisles just a little bit because I bear witness with it so much. I'm not one of them people who was born in church. I ain't one of them people who have never sinned. I'm here to tell you I'm a sinner. Amen. Saved by grace, buddy. I can relate to sin. Yeah. Some of them church folks look down their nose. Brother, I look and I'm going, whoo. I remember when I was right there. Amen. Yes, sir. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 1. The Bible said, and you. I like that. Makes it personal to me. Hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, in whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I'm glad verse number 4, listen, verses 1 through 3 talks about what I was. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I did not know God. I was one of the children of wrath. Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe in God that would pass judgment. Hey, He's already said you're condemned already.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The fact is, He's already paid for the sin of the entire world. It's whether or not we trust Him. Listen, verses 1 through 3 talks about what I was. You can add anything you want in there. Crackhead, meth head, drunk, alcoholic, dope head, pot smoker. You need anything you want to think of, put in there. Put in verses 1 through 3. That's what I was. But verse number 4 starts with one of my favorite words in all the King James Bible. It's that little conjunction. How many of y'all remember watching Saturday cartoons growing up? How many remember conjunction, junction? What's your function? Y'all remember that? I learned as a child watching cartoons, a conjunction is a word that joins up. Two sentences or phrases or thoughts. What it's saying is what has just been said is going to be opposite totally from what is about to be said. Here's what I was. Verse number 4 starts with that little word, but. But I preached a message one time on the blessings of the but. Amen. I preached on some bad buts in the Bible and some good buts in the Bible. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even, I love this, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Give me just a few minutes and I'll be done. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. So great salvation. So great salvation. I remember as a boy growing up, I'd hear people stand up in the church and testify, and they'd talk about how good it was to be in church, how good it was to be saved. And I remember as I got to be older and a teenager and a young teenager, I got a little rebellious, and I remember sitting in church with my arms crossed, and I was thinking, what's so good about it? Y'all a bunch of nuts. I thought normal was to ride around the plaza on Friday night, drink Budweiser, and holler out the car window, the truck window. Or take Terry's truck to New Hope and tear it up. Amen. He had a truck that was a show truck when he got it. It was a show enough junk truck when it was done. Amen. We buried that truck in more mud holes than you could shake a stick at. Hey, that was normal. Taking a perfectly good four-wheel drive truck and destroying it, that was normal. But being happy in Jesus, that was crazy. I thought, what's so good about it? And I had no idea till I got it for myself and I found out what is so great about salvation. I'm going to look at these verses just for a few minutes. I want to think first of all about our misery before salvation. Our misery before salvation. I grew up watching Hee Haw with my grandma as a kid. Y'all remember Doom, Despair, and Agony? Y'all remember that? Amen. I meet a lot of people. That's their life. I mean, just moaning and groaning. Ain't nothing good about it. Ready to blow my brains out. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. That's a lot of the way life is. I started learning as a four-year-old boy, life is full of letdown. Life is miserable, man, without God. Hey, I learned as a four-year-old boy, it's his daddy's walk away. I remember laying in bed at night. I thought it was my fault. What did I do to make my daddy leave? Boy, it got quiet right there. Some of your kids has asked the same question, sir. Amen. What did I do wrong? Man, I found out early in life that life ain't full of roses and it ain't all Oreo blizzards and banana split. I'm telling you, sometimes it just gets horrible and it gets tough. Amen. As I begin to grow and I live through the misery that everybody else lives through. What I tried to find out, where I found myself was just like everybody else. I thought I could borrow happiness down at the bank. Amen. I thought I could go to the bank and borrow some happiness. Boy, if I just had this. Oh, if I just had that. Sat down in that truck with that new smell. They make air fresheners supposed to smell like it. It don't smell like it. Amen. I don't care. You can put one under each seat, one in each one of the vents. My truck still smells like dog. Horse hair, and my wife spilt a whole crock pot of gravy in there this morning. You bus workers ought to be thankful. Amen. You about had to sop your biscuit out of my floorboard. Amen. I don't care how much you smell that new car smell, boy. Oh boy, if I just had that, I'd be happy. Amen. And you are till that payment book comes in the mail. That's right. And that new smell wears off and it's time to put tires on it. And one of the young'uns runs down the side of it with a bicycle without no grips on the handlebars. Somebody talks to her. Or your wife side swipes the mailbox, and once you get a dent in, I thought about the next new truck I get, I'm just going to pull up in the middle of a dirt road somewhere and get out and throw rocks at it. Just go ahead and get it over with. Amen. Just dodge all that double parking and all that stuff. Just go ahead, just key it right off the bat. Amen. Walk up on the lot, just take your car key and walk down the side of it and say, I'll take that one. Amen. Amen. I was talking to somebody the other day. I may have been Brother William, one of these guys we was talking. I said, man, I don't understand. I drive through some of these subdivisions and you see a $400,000 and a $500,000 house. Come on, preacher. Which is a single wide trailer in California. Yeah. But seriously, you ride through these nice homes, sitting in every driveway is a Hummer and a BMW. Yeah. And I said to whoever it was, I don't know if it's William, I don't know, maybe Levi, it was Levi. I said, I don't understand where these people get all this money. I ain't got a clue, man, where they get all this money. I mean, how do you make that much money? I can understand affording a Hummer. But then you add to the Hummer, the BMW, and the $500,000 house on the 18th hole of a golf course somewhere. I don't see how they do it. Wow. Levi said, well, it's one of two things. Most of them are in debt to their eyeballs. Amen. They're in debt to their eyeballs, and they work 20-something hours a day. Daddy works two jobs. Mama works two jobs. Why? So they can have a Hummer.
Yeah, come on.
If it takes a Hummer to make you happy, you ain't happy. So they can have a BMW and a house on the golf course. I wouldn't have a house on the golf course unless they'd let me put some barbed wire up around it and turn some quarter horse loose in there. Amen. And fill up them holes so my horse wouldn't step in one of them. House on the golf course. Man, can you imagine 7 o'clock on Saturday morning trying to sleep? Four! I'd be hollering out the window, 3, 2, 1, shut up, man. Amen. The misery before salvation, trying to borrow it. Man, you can't borrow salvation. I mean, you can't borrow happiness. The more in debt you are, the more miserable you are. Amen. Boy, I used to think, if I just had 10 acres of land. Yeah. I got 10 acres of land, ain't stepped on 7 acres of it in 5 years. Yeah. Yeah. Growed up so thick you couldn't walk through it, my bird dog can't get through that. Man, property don't make you happy. You can't borrow yourself happy. Amen. Amen. You can't borrow yourself happy. You can't buy yourself happy. Right. Most miserable people in the world are the richest people on the face of this planet. Right. You don't believe it? Go to Publix. I ain't saying that's where the richest people in the world's at. That's where the magazines are when you check out. Yeah. Oh yeah, I ain't never bought one, but I look at them. Man, that crowd, that Hollywood crowd, that crowd that makes $50 billion off a movie in a weekend, yeah. You walk through that, man, they ought to be happy.
Amen.
They ain't got a borrow to get their Hummer. They ain't even got to go to the bank to get their mansion. They just write a check. Man, I'd love to be able to write checks like that. I'd pay his church off. Boy, our missionaries be sitting fat and happy this morning. Amen. Man, they ought to be the happiest people in the world. Man, every time you look, them women's having plastic surgery. Amen. Most of them Hollywood women, ain't no telling what we could get for them at the recycle bin. I'm serious, heart attack, man. They plastic. They ain't real. Hey, man, it's stretched back like this. Hey, man, I can't be comfortable. This hurts like crazy, but boy, I look good. You'd think they'd be the happiest people in the world. But according to the People magazine and I don't even know the name of all, according to them magazines, man, their lives is jacked up from the floor up. They ever one got their own psychiatrist. You got all that money, what you need a shrink for?
Yeah, come on.
Y'all listening? They're miserable. Absolutely miserable. Divorce after divorce after divorce. How long's that crazy woman been married that was on Friends? What's her name? Jennifer Aniston. Every time I look on one of them papers, she got another man.
Yeah.
J-Lo, every time I turn around, got another man. Boy, it got quiet in here, didn't it? Some of y'all keep up with that junk, don't you?
Yeah.
That crowd's miserable, man. I mean, they're absolutely miserable. I get in trouble here. Oh, how dare you say anything against the king, Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
I think before he died, he changed his name to Michelle. Amen. Handful of pills to get up, handful of pills to go to bed.
Amen.
Got a cotton pick and Six Flags amusement park in his yard.
Amen.
got more money than Bill Gates. I'm talking about wealthy to the hilt, man. It's as rich as you can get. And still ain't happy. You can't borrow it. You can't buy it. You can't build it. You cannot build happiness. I built my wife our dream home. Our dream home to us ain't much to a lot of people, but it's our dream home. I was going to put a double wide on that property. Man, I'm country. I'm here to tell you. I'd have been happy with a mobile home. I could have used the axles out from under it and made a good trailer. I'm telling you, I'd have been happy with that double wide. Done had it in my mind. Pull it out here, put it together. Let's set up housekeeping and go to town. Me and Pop was putting the plumbing in Brother Ken Martin's house over in Hiram, and my wife come over and brought us lunch, and she walked around that house for an hour where the mouth hung open. Lord put on my heart. She walked out the door. I borrowed them blueprints. I said, God is my helper. I'm a builder of that house. I built it. That was in 2001. I got a gutter falling off the front. I got a roof that's been leaking. Forever. Everybody and their brothers, I can fix it. And it fixes for a while. And rains again. It works as long as it don't rain. Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, we've had to repaint the walls. We've had to recarpet. I mean, junk just falls apart. You can't build happiness. You can't build it, man. I don't care how much money you got. You cannot build happiness. In 6 months' time, my house went from being appraised at such and such. Man, I seen that appraisal and I thought, woo, yeah. I own this place. And what it's worth now? Should have bought the double wide. Somebody help me right there. You can't build happiness. You can't buy it. You can't borrow it. You can't build it. You know why? Happy is already bought. Let me say it again. Happiness is already bought. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know what that means? That means more than enough. I said that means more than enough. Brother Robbie, I don't know where that deadbeat's at this morning. He's in jail. That's where he ought to be. No, he's down there preaching. He went to the rescue mission on Friday night and they're on 316 Peter Street in Atlanta. I guarantee you, let me say it again, I guarantee you, there was homeless men sitting in that shelter Friday night happier than some of them folks down here in Mirror Lake. Y'all listening? They've come to realize happiness ain't in stuff. They was in a box the night before under I-20. They got a roof over their head and a hot meal in their belly. Somebody singing hymns and preaching the gospel to them. Hey, buddy, they happy. They'll preach you down in the floor, man. They get the store up. They homeless. I wish some of y'all get a hold of some of that. Amen. You know why? We trying to borrow it. We trying to buy it. We trying to build it. Amen. They just glad they got a meal. Amen. Our misery before salvation. Listen, before I got saved, I tried to fill the holes in my life up with everything in the world. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. I tried to drink it. I tried to chase it. I tried to party it. I tried to fight it. I tried to buy it. You cannot fill up a hole in your heart that only God is made to fill. Amen. There's a little toy at our house. I don't even know what you call it, but Hayden played with it as a baby, and then Jonah, and now Caroline, and then Mason was playing with it. Every one of them grandbabies play with this little thing, and it's a little box that opens and closes, and it's got shapes. I had one when I was a kid, but it didn't make no noise. It's got a star shape, and a round shape, and a square shape, and I don't know what else. It's got 4 or 5 shapes. And when you put the right shape through the hole, it makes a little, it makes a little noise. And them kids like that noise. Hayden was a smart one. He figured out, the heck we're trying to figure out which hole it goes in, just mash that button and it'll make that noise, amen? He'd sit there and mash that button. Amen. One of the kids was playing with it the other day, and may have been Caroline. It had that little star-shaped hole, and she had that square thing, and she was trying to... I thought, baby, I'll get you a hammer. We'll make that sucker go in there. Anything a grandbaby wants, a grandbaby get. You want a square peg in a star hole, Papa got a hammer, amen. I'll take a cutting torch and melt that sucker, and we'll pour it in there, amen. But I thought, baby, that star don't fit. That square don't fit in that star. Hey, listen, man, there's a star in your heart that a square will not fit in. Hey, good God Almighty. There's a hole in your life. There's a void in your life that you can't fill with a bottle. You can't fill with a pill. You can't fill with a party. You only going to fill with a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Our misery before salvation, by nature, the children of wrath. I want you to notice, secondly, I got to fly this morning. Levi, y'all be ready to sing for the invitation. Our mercy, secondly, through salvation. Our misery before salvation, but then our mercy through salvation. Look at verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Woo! When I wasn't good enough for the church people. That's good enough for God himself. Amen. Thank God. Levi sings a song. It says mercy. He wrote it some time ago. Mercy was enough. I believe that's the title of the CD, ain't it? Mercy was enough. I'm glad when I couldn't be good enough. I'm glad when I couldn't do good enough to satisfy the church people. I'm glad when I couldn't rise up to this level or this standard. I'm glad God's mercy was enough. Amen. His mercy was enough. Somebody said, well, I don't know. If I get saved, I'm afraid I can't live it. Thank God for mercy. Amen. That bunch is trying to make you think they live in it. They lying.
Yes, sir,
Richard. They have good days and bad days. Amen. I get a little weary of these guys coming across the pulpit. Bless God, I'd never do this and I'd never do that. If you do, you sorry. Oh, he's lying. I'm here to tell you, he's like, I've been pastoring the same church for 20 years. For 20 years, I've been dealing with people and their stuff and their junk and their life. And I'm telling you, you are capable of anything.
Amen.
Amen. Highfalutin churches. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. Pastors committing adultery.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Everywhere you look. It's a stinking mess. I've never done it. Pray by the mercy and the grace of God, I never will. Amen. That don't make me better. Makes me blessed. Amen. I heard one guy, and I got to be careful, I'm on the radio, but I heard one guy, every time I heard him preach, I mean, boy, he is on homosexuality using some of the most vulgar language you could shake a stick at. I mean, it didn't sound like he was against homosexuality. It sounded like he hated homosexuals. Are y'all listening? Every time somebody'd give me a tape or a CD, boy, you got to listen to this message. I can tell you what's on it before I put it in the CD player. I can tell you what he's going to say before I put it in there. Wasn't too long ago, somebody told me his boy. Y'all listening? What you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? Kick your boy to the curb?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Y'all, boy, thank God for mercy. You better thank God for mercy. I say it again, you better thank God for mercy. We ain't sitting up here pointing a bunch of fingers. Listen, we're going to preach on sin, and we're going to call it out by name. Hey, but we're not going to promote ourselves over you and make you think we're better than you. Hey, we've been under the spout where mercy comes out. I don't even know why I said all that, but thank God his mercy's enough. Amen. People get up and brag in church about how they, Brother Jason, get up and testify. I was the biggest dope head, biggest dope dealer in Paulding County. Hey, that's his testimony. You know what he found out? Mercy wasn't enough. Mercy. And if it was enough for him, it's enough for anybody else. They'll get up and hear his testimony. People shout, amen, glory to God. But let somebody commit one of them other sins. That,
yeah, amen. Come on.
Help me,
Lord.
Come on.
Mercy's enough.
Amen.
Mercy's enough. I'm glad His mercy was enough. When I came to God and brought what I had, I got a Toyota truck out there. It's got dents in both sides of the bed where I jackknifed my trailer. Every light on the dash is on. Every one of them. It looks like Christmas in there. We ain't even going to decorate the house this year. We're just going to cut my truck on. Amen. Check engine. Low air pressure. You can't make that thing go off. Maintenance. Traction control. It's got one that shows a picture of a truck going like this. I don't even know what that means. I got my oil changed the other day. I said, make them lights go off. He said, you got to take it to Toyota. That means get a checkbook and a credit card.
Amen.
And get a line of credit at the bank.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Dirtiest truck. Well, I just had it washed. It was. I could, if they had a dirty truck contest, I'd have won. People thought, boy, you drive that beige Toyota, don't you? Yeah, that's mine. Old brother Bo come wheeling up the other day. Brand new Silverado 2500 Duramax diesel loaded. I asked him, did he bring it this morning? I told him it was only missing one thing, my horse trailer behind it. Amen. It'd be like me taking that Toyota up there and swapping for that brand new Silverado. Say, here, I just trade with you even. I'd like to do that just to hear Mike Bell laugh. I love Mike Bell Chevrolet in Carrollton. He'd just laugh. I can hear him right now. If he's listening to the radio, he is laughing. I thought that preacher was crazy. Now I know he's crazy. Listen, I brought what I had to God. Here, God, I got a big old sack of sin. I got a bunch of guilt and I got a bunch of shame. I got a bunch of ungodliness. I got a bunch of filth. I got a bunch of past. I got a bunch of scars. Woo! God, I'll trade you even for salvation.
Amen.
But you know what God said? You got a deal.
Amen.
He didn't need my sin. He didn't need my misery. He didn't need my guilt and my shame. He just wanted me. And He took me just like I was. The misery before salvation, the mercy through salvation. And then verses 8 and 9, I want you to notice the miracle at salvation. The miracle at salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The miracle at salvation. What a miracle. What a miracle. I remember when I was a little boy, birth. How many of you ever witnessed a birth of any kind? Man, isn't that the coolest thing in the whole world? That is awesome. Man, I was raised on a farm. I remember just a little fella watching a calf being born. I'll never forget it. I thought, well, this is going to be gross. Man, I seen that little calf come out. I watched that mama lick that calf off, watched that little fella. There ain't nothing prettier in the world than a calf. Baby calf, that's the prettiest animal they is. Amen. And then they grow up and they look real good stretched out across the plate. Amen. Amen. I'm a vegetarian, that offends me. Pass the meat.
Amen.
I watched that baby calf being born and I thought, I mean, I just stood there in awe, Brother Freddie. I thought, man, this is awesome. My sister's cats, we were little old bitty thing. That was back before Mama got saved and she let us have a cat. My sister had a cat, and that thing had kittens. We found out that's what that cat did for a living. It had kittens. Every time you turn around, that cat's having kittens, and we sitting out there watching that cat have them little demonic, never mind, having them kittens. And boy, I was like, wow. I watched dogs have puppies. Most amazing thing I ever saw in my life, man. A life from a life.
Amen.
That was the coolest thing. My baby girl, my oldest, not my baby girl, Ashley, was born. I'll never forget it.
All the way to the hospital, man, I thought, I got this. There ain't nothing to this. If it gets hung, I can pull it. Hope they got a tractor in that delivery room. Some of y'all just ain't country, don't even know what I'm talking about. Barbed wire stretcher, come along. Hey, boy, hey, amen. I got, ain't nothing to this. You nervous? Nah. Seen it 100 times. About the first labor pain hit my wife, they's giving me a shot. She said, ah! And I said, oh! I'm about passed out on the floor, man. I'll never forget as long as I live. That little old black nurse, she didn't have sense. I mean, she is crazy as a sprayed roach. That girl, I'll never forget her as long as I live. She didn't have a lick of sense. She cut up and laughed. I mean, boy, she made it easier. But I was standing at my wife's head, and I was rubbing. It's a wonder she got any hair left. I was rubbing her head. I was standing at the foot head of her bed going, I was about to hyperventilate, man. That nurse would say, breathe. I was like, dear God, I'm breathing. I'm breathing myself today. I was rubbing her head. That baby is born, that little old black nurse. She come over and she just did like this. I mean, I thought you just easy. She pulled Ashley over and she said, here. It's your baby, you clean it up. And this is like. I thought my wife gave birth to a Smurf. She is blue and they put a little white hat on her head. But I'll never forget, Brother Terry, we laid her, they laid her down under that little heat lamp. And I took a little towel and I started wiping that baby. Most absolute thing I ever saw in my life. Boy, I was wiping off that little girl and I thought, boy, that's bone of my bone. That's flesh of my flesh. The miracle of birth. Man, I didn't even like babies till I saw that one. I didn't want to hold your baby. People come have pictures. Oh, look at my baby. And I think, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Ain't got no hair, ain't got no teeth, can't talk, can't walk. It ain't good for nothing. Here, hold this baby. No. Don't put that thing on me. Amen. I'd rather hold a copperhead. Amen. I saw that baby and I thought, boy, what a miracle. What a miracle. Somebody, two people love each other like we do. And from that come this. And that's just what happened when I got saved. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John chapter number 3 and he said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said, ye must be born again. He said, how can I enter the second time in my mother's womb? Jesus said, you don't get it. There is a second birth. That night under the pine tree in Brother Jay Bice's front yard on the New Year's Eve. Hey, Eddie White was born November the 13th, 1964. But on New Year's Eve, 29 years ago, under that pine tree, there was a brand new birth. I was born to Sandra White in November of 1964. But on that New Year's Eve, I was born of God. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. It was a miracle. A miracle. Greatest miracle. Somebody said, oh, I watch this televangelist on TV and he does miracles. Not like that one.
Amen.
I believe half of them he does is fake anyhow.
Yes, sir.
I said half. I'm lying. I believe all of them's fake. Oh, I see somebody out there in TV land. You believe that? I got some swamp land I'd like to sell you in Montana. Amen. I see somebody out there with an arthritic knee. Of course there is, you idiot. How many got an arthritic knee in here? And he's wearing glasses.
Yeah, come on.
I'm like, bop yourself on the head, dude. I'm healed. No, I'm kidding. Listen. Never seen a miracle like that one. I went down under that pine tree, a sinner, lost on my way to hell. Didn't know God. I couldn't have found him. Couldn't have found him with a metal detector or the FBI.
That's right.
I didn't know God. I went down a sinner and I came up a saint.
Amen.
I went down a child of the devil and came up a child of God.
Amen.
What a miracle.
Yes.
I had nothing to bring. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Had nothing. Had no money. Had no merit. Had no talent. Listen, my kids can sing. We could put them on that show, that idol thing. We could put them on there and they could do good. They can sing. They got talent. My son can write songs and play instruments. I mean, just awesome. I can't sing. Shut up. Amen, don't go right there. Somebody's supposed to say, oh, Brother Eddie, you ain't that bad. I didn't have nothing. No education, nothing. And God said, it don't take nothing. You can't buy your way in, it's paid for. What a miracle. The misery before salvation, the mercy through salvation, the miracle at salvation. And then lastly, I'm done. There's the ministry after salvation. Somebody said, boy, I got saved. Now what am I supposed to do? Share it with somebody else. Verse number 10 talks about good works. We don't work like the poor Mormon. The poor Mormon's out there riding that bicycle up and down the road. Ain't the Mormons ride a bicycle? Yeah. Jehovah's Witness sell the watchtowers. You know, they're trying to work their way in. I remember one time a Jehovah's Witness told me there's only, I forget the number, 300 and something thousand. Somebody help me. Brother Freddie, was it 300 and something? 144,000, that's right. I forgot. They upped it now. I think they upped somewhere around 500,000. I mean, it just keeps growing because they keep getting more Jehovah's Witness, so there's got to be more people go to hell. I'm not making fun, I'm just being honest. If you could work your way to heaven, what would you have to do? What would you have to do?
Amen.
What would be good enough to earn it? And if you could earn it, why did Jesus have to die?
Yeah.
If there's another way. Listen, we work around here and we witness and we preach and we run those buses up and down the road. A dear lady this week, Miss Jennifer, I just to share this with you, a dear lady this week sent me a card and a letter this morning. Sweetest thing, I sat in my office and wept like a baby. She said, I never realized the importance of the bus ministry till I saw you and your church with Christopher through that funeral. And in that envelope was five $100 bills. And she said, I want you to put some gas in those buses and bring those babies to church. What could you do to earn it? If you could earn it, why did he die? Our ministry after salvation is a love of God and a love of people because of what he's done in our heart.
Yeah.
Why do we allow people just to come to the altar at any time? Well, that's what we're here for.
Amen.
That's how I got mine. That's how you got yours.
Amen.
I'm glad when I went to Brother Jay's house on that New Year's Eve in the wee hours of the morning and got him up out of bed. I'm glad he didn't come to the door and say, son, you'll have to wait till Sunday when it's the right time. I'm glad you just have to come to church and sit through the whole service and at the altar call when I say anybody need to come to the altar, now's the time. Then you come.
Yeah.
Terry, I was supposed to die, didn't I?
Amen.
I know it and you know it.
Amen.
One of our friends nearly did. I still believe to this day that would have been Eddie White stabbed at the golf course and not Kevin Lake.
Amen.
That's where I was supposed to have been that night. But God intervened. Took me on a detour by Brother Jay's house. Amen. The ministry after salvation. I don't work to go to heaven. I work because I'm going. Amen. And some of you saved and ain't doing nothing. Well, you ought to think about the misery you were in. Some people ought to rejoice right there. Some ought to just repent and get in.
Yeah.
the misery before you got saved, the mess your life was in, the mercy through salvation, the miracle of your new birth. And you ought to find out, hey, what's my ministry after this? What can I do to give back a little bit? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Levi, y'all come. Get us a song this morning. Not 100% sure how to give the invitation this morning, just except to say, you need the Lord, just come. While they're getting ready to sing, I wonder if we could just bow our heads this morning. Nobody looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder how many would slip up their hand this morning and say, Brother Eddie, I remember the misery and the mess my life was in before I got saved. And I can rejoice in the fact this morning that God's made a difference in my life. How about that? Hands all over his building. How about this? Preacher, I remember the misery and I remember the mess, but somehow through it all, through the course of life and through the junk and through the job and the failed relationships and marriages, somewhere along the line, I'm saved, but I seem to have forgotten what God brought me out of. And I'm saved on my way to heaven, but I ain't where I ought to be. I've went from misery to mercy and right back to misery again. Preacher, pray for me that I just get my heart where I ought to be. Hands all over this building. Thank you for being honest this morning. Thank you so much. I wonder if there's one here today. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I'm just going to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. I couldn't promise you right now that if I died today, heaven would be my home. I don't know that for sure. And if you really can know it, like the Bible said, these things have are written, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you really can know that for sure in your heart, that you're going to heaven when you die, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray I get this thing settled about eternity and salvation. And I'm a little confused, but boy, I need to get this thing settled in my heart. Just slip up your hand. God bless your heart, sir. Anybody else, just slip up your hand. Preacher, I need to get this thing nailed down. I need to get this settled once and for all. Not what the Baptists say or the Methodist or the Catholic or whoever, but I just need to get it settled the Bible way. I need to know in my heart. How about it? Anybody else? Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name for your goodness. Lord, for your mercy. Oh, God, thank you for your mercy. Lord, for the miracle. Lord, when you just took a bloody eraser and washed my sins away, thank you, God. Lord, you've seen every hand this morning. You know every heart. And Lord God, I know just as sure as I'm standing here what you've done for me and what you've done for these others, you'll do for anybody this morning. Lord, I pray you just have your way in this altar call. Do that which only you can do. Lord, you saw every hand. Help them to get the help they need today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Y'all go ahead and sing, son. God dealing with your heart, why don't you come? I remember the misery he brought me out of. But boy, I seem to have forgotten it lately. Why don't you come back to him this morning? You slipped up your hand. Come on.
I trembled in the pew. A lost young man. My pounding heart was scared from how far I'd ran. This wasn't the first time he spoke to me, but I was sure it was my last chance to finally be free. I looked at my sins and they were so much that after all I'd done, could his forgiveness be enough? But I found mercy without measure and love that knows no depth. Forgiveness for sinner, redemption at its best. The higher than the highest paid my highest debt. His arm stretched out as far as east is from west. The crimson flow that fell from the nails that hurt so much. His sacrifice paid the price, and his mercy was enough.
Oh, just mind the Lord this morning. I don't care what your need is. You come tell God about it. Somebody will pile up in this altar and pray with you and help you this morning. You mind the Lord. Y'all sing on.
As far as I had run, he still came to me and gave a free pardon, like he did for that old thief who died next to his side, remembered and redeemed. And he still calls today, so you can stand and sing. I found mercy without measure, and love that knows no depth. Forgiveness for a sinner, redemption at its best. The higher than the highest paid my highest debt. His arms stretched out as far as east is from west. The crimson flow that fell from the nails that hurt so much. His sacrifice paid the price, and his mercy was enough. Oh, stretched out as far as east is from west. The crimson flow that fell from the nails that hurt so much. His sacrifice paid the price, and his mercy was enough.
Well, ain't you glad mercy was enough? I'm glad when I got saved, I didn't owe this or owe that. Didn't have to go through this step and that step or this program, that program. Just found out his mercy. That was enough. It was enough. I'm glad when Jesus paid my debt at Calvary, it was marked paid in full. I love that song the kids used to sing. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Or maybe it's vice versa. But I sure am glad he paid it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Whoa, Brother Michael. Everybody turn around and look up there in the balcony. If you know what that means, Brother Michael's been over in Junior Church every Sunday. When they're done, he comes to the balcony and lets me know how many, if any, were saved. He just held up seven fingers. Seven little boys and girls came to know Christ as their Savior this morning. Hallelujah. That's enough to make me want to come back tonight. Amen. Shout her out. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Appreciate you being in church today. Anything going on this afternoon? I didn't even look at the bulletin. Ladies meeting today, 4:30. Ladies meeting today, 4:30. Children's choir practice today at 5 o'clock. Anything else? Nap time. That's what's going on. Amen. It's in the Bible somewhere. You're supposed to take a nap on Sunday afternoon. And one of you nuts see to it. You have to call me every Sunday about 3:30.